Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. Don't turn him away. You might not be able to give him all that he asked for, but you can give him something. Remember when they asked Peter and John for gold and silver, and they said, well, we don't have that, but we can give you what we have. Don't turn him away. You run into someone in need, be generous. Be open-handed. You say, well, okay, well, what if my heart is just selfish? And it shouldn't be selfish, but it is. What can I do about that? I mean, I'm stingy. How do I change from having a selfish, stingy heart to having a loving, generous heart? How do I get that grace? Well, I think the most important, just like any grace, the most important way is to increase your love for Christ and then spend time thinking about Christ's love for that person. I mean, that's just vital. And that, because that'll tend to make your heart love the person. The more you love Christ, the more you see his love for that person, the more you will love that person. And that just requires a lot of time thinking about his love for that person instead of thinking about that person's ways that person is messing up or hurting you. And you say, well, what about in the meantime? Well, I'm working on it. I'm trying to change my heart, but in the meantime, what do I do? While I'm working on getting my heart right, should I not give? Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. It's not there in my heart, and I don't want to just do something different than what's in my heart and be a hypocrite. No. Actions of obedience are never wrong. Actions of obedience can assist the changing of the heart. One time I had, just give you an example, I had a guy borrow a commentary from me and then forget to return it, forget that it wasn't his. And so when he moved, he just packed it up with all of his rest of his books and took it. And the time came when I needed that commentary. So I contacted him and I asked if I could have it back. And he said that, I said, if you send me that back, I'll pay for the postage. And so he chose the most expensive shipping option, sent it registered mail, and then sent me a bill for that postage. Now, it wasn't very much, it really wasn't that much money, but I have to tell you, the reaction of my flesh, the initial reaction of my flesh when I got that was not something I was proud of. You know, just, it, like I said, it wasn't a lot of money, but just something that was seemingly done just out of spite, just irritated me. And I was angry, and so the knee-jerk reaction of my heart was a temptation to just give him a very cold response. But before I had any chance to express my vengeful heart towards him, the Holy Spirit had me in a full Nelson, convicting me of that sin and wouldn't let me go until I repented. And so I was asking God, how can I change my heart attitude? And one of the things that came to mind is to give a gift. And so I sent him a check for the postage plus an extra $50 as a gift. And I can tell you that really did help. It really did help my heart along. Now, obviously, something just giving an extra gift by itself won't automatically do anything. You can give a gift and then you just resent the guy even more because now he's cost you the extra $50. So it's definitely not an automatic thing. However, if you're making every effort to generate love in your heart where it isn't present, giving can assist that. It really can. There are a lot of religions and a lot of religious teachers throughout the centuries who have talked a whole lot about holding back on revenge. Don't get revenge. It's a very popular thing in religious circles, but you're hard-pressed to find any religion that talks about doing this, loving your enemies. But see, Jesus isn't going to, he's not content with mere non-retaliation. He won't let us leave it with last week's sermon. He not only forbids revenge, but then he ratchets the whole thing up to a much higher level and calls for love and generosity and giving towards those you're naturally inclined to retaliate against and strike back against. And Jesus said, go ahead and strike back, but strike back with generosity and kindness. They hurt your feelings, give them continued friendship. If the issue is money or material possessions, then give them even more than what they think you owe. If it's a matter of personal freedom, go the extra mile. Do even more than what's required. If they need a loan, if you can, make it a gift. Now, turn your Bibles to Romans 12, 21. I mentioned this at the beginning of the sermon, this warfare. I said it's okay to fight back in a quarrel. And you thought I was being facetious. I wasn't. I meant that. It's okay to fight back. In fact, you must fight back. It's not only okay, it's required. God commands us not only to fight, but to win, to overcome evil. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil. I want to just give you three observations about this text. First, note the only command in the verse. Overcome. You're commanded to win. You need to pull out your biggest guns because you are commanded to win. You need to overwhelm your opponent. Out fight your opponent, overwhelm them. He hits you with a pea shooter, pull out a 38. He fires a rifle shot, you can come out with a tank. He gets a tank, you drop a bomb. I mean, you just don't be content to lose. You must win. Overwhelm your opponent. That's observation number one. Observation number two. This enemy you're fighting against, the enemy is not the person who hurt you. That's not who you're fighting. In fact, it's not any person at all. Your opponent, that your defeat is what? Evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Is it okay to be in a fight? You know, I've heard marriage counselors on the radio, they'll say, you know, it's okay to fight, you just need to fight fair in your marriage. Or you can fight your spouse, just got to know how the right, you know, whatever. Is it okay to fight your spouse? No. Is it okay to fight? Sure, but not your spouse. Not your husband, not your wife. Or your boss, or your neighbor, or person at church, or anybody who has flesh and blood. Aside from that, sure, you can fight all you want. You can war all you want against evil, not against people. So, observation number one, you must win. Observation number two, your opponent is not the person who's hurting you. That's not who you're fighting. It's evil. You've got to somehow destroy this evil. So you're commanded to win. The enemy's not the person but evil. Then the third observation. There's only one weapon that you're permitted to use. Of all the different weapons you have at your disposal in a fight, and we've got lots of them that we use to hurt people, right? There's only one that we're allowed to use. And what is it, according to this verse? Overcome evil with what? Good. It's the only weapon we can use. You can't use your fists, you can't use harsh words, you can't use revenge, you can't use nagging, you can't use manipulation, you can't use cold shoulder, silent treatment, any of that. The only weapon you're allowed to use is good. Which makes perfect sense, because if the enemy is evil, obviously, you're in a war with evil, you don't want to introduce more of the enemy onto the battlefield by increasing the evil on the whole deal. So you can't add any evil. Trying to overcome evil with evil is like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. That's not going to work. The only weapon that works against evil is good. And so that's the only weapon we're permitted to use in the fight. That's the weapon, that's the only weapon that's powerful enough to win. So you fight all you want, but just use those three principles. And those three principles make for some pretty interesting warfare. Person hurts you, the war has begun. You can't ever fight that person, but you declare all-out war on the evil in that person's heart. So he hurts you, you blast him with kindness. Just blast him. He doesn't accept your kindness, he fires off some more evil, you p- pull out the really big guns, and you double, triple your kindness and your acts of love. And he escalates his evil, you escalate your good until that evil is annihilated and you win your brother's heart.
If you're not currently in a conflict, think of the last conflict you had with someone. Were you thinking of the person as your opponent or the evil as your opponent? What could you have done better to destroy that evil? And how could you prepare yourself to have that response in future conflicts? And then number two, has there ever been a time when someone destroyed the evil in your heart through a godly response? What could you learn from what they did?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.